بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Every single one of us sitting here today knows one thing for sure, and that is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ. Verily Allah Azza wa Jal Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the King of Kings, the one who created me and you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ. And the angels, يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي. Send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O you who believe, send peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah Azza wa Jal Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, our Creator, the one who created the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who created us, the King of Kings, the one who answers our prayers, if He Himself is sending peace and blessings upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what position are we in? What position are we in that when we hear His name, we don't say anything? Alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you all know, was the best of creation. And He was the best example. The best example for the believers and for the whole of mankind. And naturally, those who accompanied the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who saw him, those who walked with him, those who spoke to him, those who had dealings with him, those who accompanied him on trips and travels, they were the best of people after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they saw the best of people walking and talking. They saw him in the flesh. And so the companions, brothers and sisters, are the best of people after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the best of companions is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the closest friend of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and his closest companion, and also the father-in-law of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the status and the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the fact that he's mentioned in the Quran. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار. The second of the two when they were in the cave. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Mecca and he was being persecuted, he was looking to leave and to go to Medina. But the Quraysh wouldn't let him, and they were ready to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the time was right, he told Abu Bakr radiallahu an that you will be accompanying me. And Abu Bakr radiallahu an was the most happiest of people when he heard this. He couldn't believe that he was going to be accompanying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this historical trip. And yet this trip was filled with dangers. It wasn't an easy trip. Literally the whole of Arabia were after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The whole of Quraysh were going to kill the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It wasn't going to be an easy trip. They weren't going on vacation. They weren't going to enjoy themselves. It wasn't going to be a nice trip. There were going to be difficulties. But Abu Bakr radiallahu an was just happy to be in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, nowadays when we see a celebrity and we get to meet them, we get really happy. When someone sees an actor or someone sees a singer, And he can't believe that, he can't believe his eyes, that he's seen a singer and he's seen an actor, or he's seen somebody famous from television. Nowadays everyone on television is famous. People think that just because you're on television, you're famous. And so whenever they see this person, they're happy. And they want to accompany him. Wherever they go, they want to accompany him. But imagine being in the company of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and having to be able to give, to be given this, you know, this honor of being able to travel with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they say, the scholars say, that one of the ways that you know more about a person is if you travel with him. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jal himself. ثَانِي اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. The second of the two. The second of the two. Who was the first? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثَانِي اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. The second of the two when they were in the cave. When they were in the cave, hiding from the Quraysh. Their lives in danger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them. And so, being given this virtue and this blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being mentioned in the Quran shows the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And it's mentioned that even Umar radiallahu anhu, who as you all know was someone who was very shadid, someone who was very strong, rough in nature, and people were afraid of him. It's mentioned by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he would be walking down the street, the shaitan would cross the street, would walk on the other side of the street. That was the nature of Umar radiallahu anhu. But even Umar radiallahu anhu was someone who had the utmost respect for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu was the one who was distressed. And he was the one who was, you know, unhappy. And everybody was unhappy. But he was someone who didn't know what to do. And he was panicked. And he was threatening the people with his sword bare. And he was saying, anybody who said the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam is dead, then I will cut their heads. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came in the best of people after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he told Umar radiallahu anhu, sit down. He told Umar radiallahu anhu to sit down. And this was the bravery and the courage of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he was the first successor of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And from the greatest of the companions was Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, this great companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if there was ever to be a prophet after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. If there was to have been a prophet after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Now some may say that if this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasalam said about Umar radiallahu anhu, then doesn't that mean that he was better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned Umar radiallahu anhu as the one who would have been a prophet, and not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But the scholars, they mention that if he was to have been a prophet, then naturally the prophets would have been better than the companions. But the fact that he wasn't shows that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was better than Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu was just a companion. From the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu is a story that I wanted to mention. When he heard the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam say that inna min khayr al-tabi'in, that from the best of those who come after the companions is a man known as Uwais al-Qarni, is a man called Uwais al-Qarni. And if any of you sees him, then ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. If any of you see Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarni, then ask him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah azza wa jal to supplicate for you. And so Umar radiallahu anhu, after he heard this, and after the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, and after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, and Umar radiallahu was the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers, every Hajj season, he would go out to the mountains, and he would shout out. He would shout out to the people who were coming from Yemen. And he would say, is Uwais al-Qarni from amongst you? Is Uwais al-Qarni from amongst you? Every Hajj season he would say this. Until the Yemenis, those people from Yemen, they became tired of him constantly saying this. And they said, why do you keep asking us about this person? Why do you keep asking us about this person? Look at the insistence and how, you know, persistent Umar radiallahu anhu was when he came to finding out about this man and looking for this person. Merely the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam caused Umar radiallahu anhu to go out every single Hajj season to look for this person. Look at how much love that the companions had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yu'minu ahadukum, none of you will fully and truly believe hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi, until I am more beloved to him min walidihi than his parents, wa waladihi and his children, wa nasi ajma'in, and the whole of mankind." And you know how sometimes when our parents get upset and they become emotional and they start to cry, and the children, when they see this, it affects them. Likewise with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would start crying, when he would start weeping, the companions, they would say to him, why are you crying, O Messenger of Allah? Tell us why you're crying so we can cry with you. And this was the love that they had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's mentioned that whenever he would cry, the companions would just cry because they saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying. That's how much love they had for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The child, when he sees his parents crying, when a, you know, calamity befalls a family, somebody passes away, there's a death in the family, and they see the parents crying. They see the parents crying, and just because they see their parents crying, they feel something in their hearts and they start to cry. When we see a loved one, someone we love, when we see them emotional, they start crying, we end up crying with them because we love them so much. And that's why the child, when he sees his parents crying, he starts to cry. And this was how the companions were when he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Eventually Umar radiallahu anhu, he found this man. After much, you know, persistence from him, he found this man. And Umar radiallahu anhu, this great companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asks a man who isn't even a companion. Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarni wasn't even a companion. He was a tabi'i. And a companion is someone who saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a Muslim and he died upon Islam. And Uwais ibn Amr al-Qarni never saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when Umar radiallahu anhu saw this man, he asked him and he told him that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this, so make dua for me. So subhanallah, Umar radiallahu anhu, this great man, asks someone who isn't even a companion to make dua for him, to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he forgives him. And this was the humbleness of the companions. This was the piety of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had the best of teachers. They had the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their teacher. When the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was traveling to Mecca to perform the pilgrimage, he was going towards Mecca, and as you all know, the Quraysh prevented him and they stopped him from performing the pilgrimage. And so on their way back, when they were returning from Mecca and going back to Medina, they slept and they camped the night. And Bilal radiallahu anhu, as you all know, was the first mu'adhin, al-mu'adhin al-awwal. And when the time for Fajr came, they overslept. They overslept and they missed the Fajr Salah. And Bilal radiallahu anhu didn't wake up on time. And when they eventually did wake up, even though they woke up late, they prayed. Now, what I want to focus on is this great companion, Bilal radiallahu anhu. the first mu'adhin of Islam, the first one to say the adhan out loud. In those times, as you all know, he was the mu'adhin. And he would get up before everybody else and he would make the adhan. He would make the adhan. And he would wake the people up for the Fajr Salah. Now the question is, brothers and sisters, in those times, they didn't have mobile phones. They didn't have alarm clocks. How was it possible that Bilal radiallahu anh would wake up every single day before the Fajr Salah and he would make the adhan? How is this possible? He didn't have no alarm clocks or no mobile phones. There was nothing there to wake him up, no electronic devices. So how was it that he would get up every single day and make the adhan? Brothers and sisters, when one of us is tired of our jobs and we're sick of working and we're looking for a new job and we're online and we're looking for a new job, we want a new career, and we send off our application forms and one of them sends back an application form and decides to meet you for a meeting. They give you a phone call and they say, we want to meet you at a certain time, and you're really happy, you're over the moon, you're thinking, this is my chance, I've got an interview with this company, it may be the beginning of a new career. The night before that interview, the only thing on his mind is that interview. The only thing on his mind is that he needs to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning so that he can get ready and leave the house by 7, so that he can make it to that place for that interview at 8 o'clock. And it's the last thing on his mind before he goes to sleep. Why is that? Because it's something which he regards as something which is important. It's something which is important to him. Somebody's traveling. He's going for Umrah or he's going for Hajj in this season. And his flight is early morning. He goes to sleep, what's on his mind? In the back of his mind, he knows that he needs to get up early to make it for the flight to go for Hajj. Because it's something which he thinks is important. Now the question is, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Fajr Salah, how many of us, when we go to sleep, do we have this in the back of our minds? How many of us have it inside our hearts and in the back of our minds that we need to wake up for the Fajr Salah? Okay. Forget your mobile phones, forget your alarm clocks. Look at your own self. How much do you value the Salah? The Miftahul Jannah, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the key to paradise. Because if your prayers are fine, then everything else will be fine on the Day of Judgment. But if the prayers aren't fine and they're not sound, then you're going to have problems. So how many of us actually, before we go to sleep, mentally prepare ourselves to wake up for the Fajr prayer? And also, during that time, the companions would have light sleep. They wouldn't have a deep sleep like we have now. You know, when somebody knows he needs to wake up early tomorrow for a job interview or, you know, whatever it is, if he's traveling or whatever the situation may be, his sleep isn't a deep sleep. He might even wake up a couple of times during the night. He might wake up a couple of times during the night, you know, afraid that he's going to get up late. And then he'll go back to sleep and he'll wake up on time. Sometimes when we get ready to go to work or we get ready to go to school or university and we set our alarm clocks, sometimes we wake up before even the alarm clocks go off. 5 minutes before the alarm clock goes off, we're awake. 8:30 was our alarm clock, we wake up at 8:25. Because we become used to it. We become accustomed to it. And so likewise, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the salah, the miftah wal jannah, we need this key. We need this key to paradise. And the companions were the best of examples. When it came to the salah, when it came to the ibadah, when it came to everything else. So we need to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we value the salah, just like the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to value the salah. And that we try our utmost to maintain the salah. And eventually, inshallah, by the grace and will of Allah azza wa jal, the salah will become easy for us. It'll become part of our routine. Just like how we get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go to work, We can wake up an hour early for the Fajr Salah, it's not a problem. But we just have to get into the routine of it. Get into the routine of waking up for the Salah. And once we're in that routine, and once we do it for 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, for a month, it becomes easier for us. So these are just some of the things that I wanted to mention with regards to things that we can take and lessons that we can take from the lives of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the keys to paradise and that He, you know, improves our religion and perfects our character. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.